Start?
Yeah, I think we should start.
Okay.
Yeah, letter comes from Sri.
Yeah, you can start.
So good morning, everybody. So how do you want us to take this? Should I give an introduction to endurance to start with?
I'm meeting after a pretty long bit of time.
So a bit of brief. I mean, I'm
sure. Sure.
What has changed over the last 2-3 years?
So I don't know whether the team, whether the investors from Hong Kong can hear me. Are you able to hear me?
Yeah, hi, I can hear you. Vihang here from Zawa Capital.
Hello. So I think I should start, right?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Okay. So good morning, everybody. Just like to first give you a brief overview of Endurance Technologies. We started our journey in 1985 at Aurangabad in Maharashtra by supplying aluminium die casting components to Bajaj Auto, which was manufacturing scooters at that time. At present, we are one of the largest aluminium die casting companies in India, with a capacity of 147,000 metric tons. We are involved in high pressure die casting, low pressure die casting, and gravity die casting. Our focus is to move towards more of fully finished castings from raw casting and semi finished castings. We are also the largest 2- and 3-wheeler auto component player in India. We have a range of 4 product areas or segments. One is the aluminium castings. Second is a 2- and 3-wheeler suspension, which is your front fork and shock absorbers. Third is the transmission, which is clutch assemblies and continuous variable transmissions meant for scooters. Also, we have recently added a new revenue stream called the drive shaft, which is mainly meant for 3- and 4-wheelers, which I would also call under the transmission group. And we already started supplies to Bajaj Auto, and we've got orders from both TVS and Mahindra. Mahindra for the electric 3-wheelers. So it's an EV agnostic product. And the fourth is, of course, the 2- and 3-wheeler brake assemblies. Most recently, we added a fifth product segment, which is the advanced electronic segments, with the acquisition of a company called Maxwell Energy, whose flagship product as of now is the battery management system, which is used for 2-wheelers and can also be used for 3-wheelers. They I think started in 2017, and they have almost 5 years of deployment of the EVs directly to OEMs as well as indirectly through battery pack makers. So this is a new, I would say entry, as the battery management system is one of the important products in a EV vehicle. So now we are into 5 product areas or 5 product segments. We have 19 plants in India, which are located strategically in states of Tamil Nadu, Gujarat, Karnataka, Maharashtra, and Uttarakhand, where most of our major OEMs are there. And we have 7 plants in Italy and 3 in Germany. We are an end-to-end service provider from design, development, testing, validation, and after-sales service. We have very high focus on technology. We have 5 R&D centers, including for the drive shaft in India, which is approved by the Department of Scientific and Industrial Research. And we have 2 R&D centers in Italy. One is for 4-wheeler aluminium die-cast components, which is in Turin. And the second is in Rovereto, which is a few hours from Milan. And this is because of the acquisition we did of our earlier technology provider, Adler SPA, which we acquired in 2020. And they are making clutch assemblies for Ducati and for KTM there. So we have a small engineering center there. And we also have a plan to do the brakes there with the acquisition of Grimeca, which also provided us technology in 2004 for the brake assembly system. And that's how we started brakes in India. So with these 2 acquisitions, we are also focusing on the premium 2-wheeler segment, partly for the OEM, but mainly in the profitable aftermarket business. So we have 7 plants in Italy and 3 in Germany near Heilbronn, I would say 1.5 hours from Stuttgart. The major customers in India for us are Bajaj, Honda 2-wheeler, which is HMSI, Royal Enfield, TVS, Hero Motocorp, Yamaha, Suzuki, and in 4-wheelers, it is Tata Motors, Hyundai, Kia, and Mahindra. Mahindra, we also supply for the tractor division. Europe, the major customers are the Volkswagen Group, including Volkswagen, Porsche and Audi. Then we have Stellantis, which is a joint venture between Peugeot and Fiat. And then we have Daimler, BMW, Renault. These are the major customers in Europe. So at present, we have about 26 patents in India to our name and 84 under. One of our strengths is a strong European operations. Is it okay? Yeah, it's okay. So the second, I would say, strength we have are our strong European operations. There are a few, I think, Indian companies which have European operations at a EBITDA margin of approximately 18%. Even last year, with a huge increase in energy and gas prices, we had a 14.1% EBITDA margin. And even in the first quarter, we had an EBITDA margin of 13.7%. But if the energy prices, we had got reimbursement from our customers, based on energy prices, we would be at around 18% EBITDA. So this is an 18% EBITDA, I would say structure which we have in operations. So I would say that's one of our strengths. We already got about 150 million euro of business for EV and hybrid vehicles. Our normal turnover is about 250 million euro. So having won 150 million euro, we are on the right track of really going into EVs.
So this is revenue or order?
This is the order book. Order 150 million euro. I think the revenue would be Massimo.
How much? Sure, you have 220
million. 220 million. Out of which EVs would be how much? EVs means battery, hybrid and EV.
More or less 65 million of euro.
About 65. And of course, we are taking more orders. We are really focusing on more orders, which is good. The third strength is, of course, our strong supplier base, which we have. As you know, in India, we have an endurance vendor association with 250 plus suppliers, which we formed about 10 years ago. And this is helping us basically to resolve any interface loss issues which are there in terms of quality requirements, in terms of commercial requirements. We address each other's concerns. And also we have largely a back-to-back pricing on commodity increase or decrease, where we have an understanding with most of our suppliers that unless we get an increase or decrease from our customers quarterly, we do not pass it on. So that's, I think, a very big strength which we have in endurance. Another strength is all the critical operations. Because of quality reasons, we do in-house, like surface treatments, like nickel hard chrome plating, anodizing, painting, powder coating, critical machining, all critical assemblies are done in-house. In fact, all assemblies are done in-house. That's one of our strengths from a point of view of quality, because we believe that your strength of technology and your pricing gets you the business, and then it's your quality, which is your customer complaints in terms of aesthetic fitment and function or warranties, which sustains your share of business or increases it. So quality becomes very, very important. We are also focusing on our profitable aftermarket business. Last year we did about 421 crores, which is almost a 53% growth over the previous year. And this year we are targeting more than 600 crores. And here we are exporting to 31 countries. We are adding another 4 countries. We have a long way to go in terms of exports, because our major customer, Bajaj Auto, supplies to more than 75 countries. So we have a long way to go there. A good opportunity for growth in the export market. India, we are penetrating more tier 3 and tier 4 towns. So this is a very, very large focus for us. Also, at the same time, to ensure profitable growth, like we have in the past, outsourced our non-critical operations to our vendor base, because their pricing is lower, then they do all the capex for those non-critical, which we were doing, which has helped us to increase our ROC. In fact, we were always 20% plus earlier to COVID, but I'm sure our focus will to get back to 20% plus in future. But we are also doing some backward integrations, like we have launched, as you know, the ABS, which is the hydraulic and electronic control unit last year. We're supplying today to Bajaj Auto and Royal Enfield, the single channel. We hope to clear the dual channel by end of this calendar year and supply that also. So what we have done is we have also started supplying the hoses, which is both an import substitute. People were buying from a Spanish company, which was then acquired by Brembo last year. So we are giving an attractive price to our customers, and we are giving a complete solution. Like I said, we are a complete solution provider, end-to-end solution provider. So this is helping us to increase our profitability in the ABS, plus give a very good pricing to our customer. The second backward integration we have done, and these are only for technology, we don't do backward integration if there's no technology, is on the aluminium forgings for our inverted front forks. We are using axle clamps, which were being imported from Austrian and Italian suppliers. And we have tied up with an Italian company called FGN in Italy. It's near Turin. And we've started supplies both for exports as well as for Bajaj KTM in India from April 2022 onwards. So this is our foray. And of course, aluminium forging is opening up new requirements. It's not only aluminium forgings for axle clamps, but now we are getting inquiries for other aluminium. It can become in future a separate product area. But right now our focus is for inverted front forks and to try and improve our profitability and give a good, I would say, price advantage to our customers. So in terms of technology, I would just like to mention one more thing, that at Endurance, when I talk about technology, the focus is the performance improvements, durability with the life improvement, and definitely trying to lower costs by value engineering. What I mean by value engineering is lowering the weight of the parts, or going for alternative materials which are cheaper. And third could be, for example, we have lower number of components in clutch assemblies or in shock absorbers. So these are all areas where we are really focusing on. Because as you know, cost pricing is very, very important. So you have to be very competitive. So R&D should give you the performance, the life, but also continuously give you, price advantage in terms of your competition. So this is what is our focus, and that's the reason our aim is that all these high-end products we have, like the ABS or the inverted front forks or the rear monoshocks, or with the acquisition of Adler, we have gone into high-end clutches. They are the assistance slip clutches that help you for smoother takeoff, better handle lever feel, and smooth gear shifting when you shift gears from 4 to 3 to 2 to 1. So our endeavor is how our customers can launch it in the lower CC. So for example, the inverted front forks from Bajaj has launched it in the lower CC pulses, 200cc, about 180, 200, 220. So this is helping us to increase our market size. So idea is, it started with KTM, which was high end, but our future focus will be how the ABS, which is anyway mandatory above 125cc. So how we can see that our products, based on pricing and without affecting the performance or the life, we can make it a mass product. Because the aspirations of a normal consumer, they want all the features, they want all the safety requirements. So this is our endeavor in Endurance through technology. And fortunately, all the technology, including the Maxwell acquisition, which we have done in July for advanced electronics, all the technology sits in-house. It's our technology, and that's why we can work on it. And we believe that technology is the future which will help us to get more and more business. Because you have to continuously upgrade technology. Of course, as you are seeing, electronic vehicles are gaining ground. We believe in what we read and what we talk to customers. The lower speed or the lower performance of vehicles like the scooters, the buses and the three-wheelers will change quickly to EV by 2030. Motorcycles and passenger cars having higher requirements of performance will take a longer time. How much time, I don't know. So we have already won till, I think, quarter one, which is June 22, around 484 crores of business for EVs from companies like Ather, Hero Electric, Bounce, and we are engaged with all the others, including Ola and Okinawa's. And of course, we are engaged with all the OEMs. With Bajaj Auto, we already started for the Chetak, and we soon started for the three-wheelers also. So we are engaged with all the people who matter in the EV two- and three-wheeler business. Already started Mahindra three-wheelers for the brake systems for three-wheelers. They were planted in Bangalore. So we are going all out on this business. And of course, this 44 crore doesn't include the Maxwell orders for the battery management system. So that would be extra. But we hope to do about 40 to 45 crores in this year. Also, we would like to throw some light on the mega project incentive which we have in Aurangabad, Maharashtra. I require Mr. Ray to explain that to all of you.
Maharashtra is the only state in India which gives a fairly largish incentive and has been giving since 2013. In 2013, the scheme was first announced for 5 years, 13 to 18. The threshold of capex was 250 crores. That if a company spends 250 crores in Category D backward areas where Aurangabad is, then one would get back this 250 crores over 7 years. And what's the trigger? The trigger is that the company's GST payment, state GST payment in the state of Maharashtra had to exceed that yearly amount. So suppose in a certain year, our due was 50 crores. So we had to pay GST of at least 50 crores for the government to cut a check and give me that money back. This accrual happens based on sales. As I clock GST, this accrual happens in my books and cash follows later. So of the two, and then subsequently they increased it by one more year. So 2013 to 18 became 2013 to 19. So initially we got 367 crores, which was enhanced to 466 crores under the erstwhile scheme. Out of 466, roughly 20 crores would be earmarked for electricity duty exemption. So the incentive which would flow on a yearly basis became 446 crores. So right now, since a part of it came late, right now, this year, last year we booked a little more than 60 crores. This year also will be around that. So this booking would go on for a while. And there's a balance amount, a percentage, which is paid after our GST assessment for that particular year is over. So we have booked a sizable amount in the books over the last 4-5 years, and almost 40-50% of that money has been received from government. It would have been more, but for the fact that a couple of years we lost due to the COVID, where revenues were drying up, so government were not in a position to disburse. Now the disbursement has started again. And there's another scheme, exactly similar, announced for 2019 to 24. Here the threshold is 350 crores of capex. So we'll apply sometime next year for the scheme, because we believe that we'll definitely be exceeding 350 crores. So once that approval comes in, then again, based on our sales, we'll start booking this incentive.
This recovery happens over 5 years?
Seven years.
After marketing it.
And I think this is the best scheme, because fortunately, Waluj, Aurangabad, certain areas are under D-zone. So they get this incentive. I've not seen this incentive in any other state in India so far. You get 100% of your investment back in 7 years. So it's a very, very good incentive. So whatever we invest in Aurangabad, we are getting it back in 7 years. So it's a very good scheme.
The sales are from that particular plant,
or
you can sell from anywhere?
No,
inside.
No, no.
Only from those plants. Only the Aurangabad plants.
Into Maharashtra.
Yeah.
Then the other thing is, in the last 1 year, we have set up 3 new plants. One is for Hyundai and Kia, as we have received about 225 crores new business from them. So we already had a plant in Chennai. We started in 2007, but we have now started a plant for them and for other customers in Vallam. And the second plant is, you know, we are getting very large brake orders from every single OEM. TVS wants us to supply almost 5,000 sets of brake assemblies a day. We reached about 2,500. 5,000 we hope to reach by April 23. So large orders from TVS, from Honda, from Hero. Yamaha has given us a single source 400,000 scooter brake assemblies. Already started. We had about 12,000-13,000 a month. We should reach 33,000 a month by next year. So brakes business is really growing. So we have increased our capacity by putting up a second plant from 375,000 brake assemblies a month to 575,000. And we should do in October about 470,000. So brakes is very much increasing. And you know, as far as ABS is concerned, we have started last year. And this also, we have a capacity of 400,000. We hope to reach this run rate in the next 1 or 2 months. The major reason is the shortage of supplies of the ABS ECU from Mando Hella. We have reached, I think, about 25,000-26,000. And we hope this month or next month we should do 33,000. So let's hope we get the supplies of the ABS ECU. Today we are supplying to Royal Enfield as well as to Bajaj. But we are also getting into dual channel. We hope to clear by end of this calendar year. So we are setting up a line for another 200,000 for the dual channel. And in the next 2 years, we want to go to 1.2 million. So the market is about 3-3.5 million. We want to capture at least 30% of the market, which is majorly controlled by Bosch. So we have the Vallam plant for aluminium casting and machining, the brakes, of course. And third is that we have expanded into a new plant we set up for alloy wheels, because we got a large order of 80,000 wheels a month from TVS and about 8,000 to 10,000 per month from Hero Electric, required for the electric vehicles. So this plant has already started, and we hope to do 80,000 next month for TVS. So we increase our capacity of from 240,000 alloy wheels a month to about 380,000 alloy wheels a month. So there's a big increase happening. So we believe in endurance, and we have always said that uncertainty is a new normal. We have no control on the external environment, what happens. So we are really going after profitable business. Even during COVID, we acquired 585 crores of new business, which is all non-Bajaj. 745 crores of non-Bajaj business last year. And in the first quarter, we have acquired 404 crores of new business. So we are just going after business. And I already told you, EV, we have won 484 crores so far, not counting Maxwell, till June 22. So profitable growth and getting new businesses is really a focus both in India as well as in Europe. And if when the tide turns, and we are hoping that the semiconductor chip situation is improving, but I think it's going to take time to get back to normal. We hear from customers by June, July of 23. But things are definitely improving. The festive season should be much better. The monsoons have been good. We are hoping that the rural sector sentiment is better, which is a major purchaser of motorcycles. So let's hope for the best, you know. So we are seeing higher schedules from customers. So let's hope things go well for the future. Luckily, even the raw material cycle is now reversing. From August 2022, you've seen a 20 rupees per kg lower prices for aluminium, about 6 rupees a kg for steel. Let's hope this trend continues, because we have seen 8 quarters of only raw material price increases, where our RMC has gone from 62% to selling price 2 years ago to 68 or 69%. Which has really affected our EBITDA margin percentage. Last year we did about 13.2% and first quarter about 11%. So we hope with this tide reversal, it will have a good impact on the EBITDA margin percentage. But that's a mathematical, you know, figure which takes place. So we are really very, very optimistic about the future. And the ups and downs happen in life, but you have to focus on your business. So that's what we are doing. So now I'd like to invite questions from all of you.
of the new business that you acquired, non-Bajaj business.
Yes.
Largely, it is coming from a market share gain from another vendor, or it's more of import.
It is both. It is both. Some is new business for new vehicles, and one is, of course, you're taking it from competition. So both the things are happening.
I mean, taking it from the competition, and typically in what we have understood, what I have understood,
yes.
Auto line supplier,
yes.
It's very tricky.
Yes.
Switching costs are much higher, processes, a lot of things going in place.
Yes.
So how do you make sure that you take market share from there? Or unless you're number two, where you're taking some volume from number one, or you're number one and taking market share?
See, normally price, because see, price is one major reason, and second, of course, which is more important, is quality. Because quality is the biggest cost for a customer, it spoils the reputation of the vehicle. So normally these are the major two reasons. Or it could be even sometimes technology. Technology with pricing. So sometimes people may do, ki they may have a vehicle, they may go for an upgrade of that same vehicle. But they feel ki they need another supplier for their model. So maybe, now we have had some orders like this, ki right now there's a certain vehicle running. They are upgrading in 2024. That's where they put us. As 100% share of business. So these things are also happening in the market. You know. So these are normally the reasons which take place. You know. And see, also if they are going for higher technology or better technology, the clutch is improving or a brake system is improving at competitive prices, they would prefer to change. Third reason is import substitution. So for example, for TVS, they have, I think, de-risked the Chinese supply. Even for alloy wheels, many customers are de-risking Chinese suppliers, and that is also adding to our business, mainly in brakes and alloy wheels. These two areas, it's been a de-risking of China, what customers have done. So there are various reasons for that.
In terms of the focus right now, let's say if you pick your total business,
yeah.
How much will it be an import substitution oriented business where you can have better margins or you know, the growth can be much higher?
Right now we find import substitution is brakes and alloy wheels. And on the backward integration which I mentioned was the ABS hoses and the aluminium forgings which are required for inverted front forks. So these four areas, all are technology areas, and these are both substitutions and which are win-win situations for both the customer as well as us.
How much is Bajaj spending as a total revenue?
Consolidated would be, I think, 38%. 38%.
Any internet plan to bring it down to the next percentage?
See, what is happening is, of course, like I said, all these businesses are getting orders from other customers. 585, 745, as well as the 494. But what is happening is that it depends how well Bajaj does. If Bajaj does very well, like last year, they've done very well last year. And as you know, a large part of this is the exports, which did very well last year. This year, they've been, of course, affected. Because of countries like Sri Lanka and Bangladesh and Egypt getting affected. But it will all depend upon how Bajaj does. But at the same time, let me tell you that the first opportunity we got for ABS and inverted front forks or rear monoshock, even what we are getting on the assistance lift high-end clutches, is from Bajaj. So when you get into higher value-added products, but they are amongst the first to go into machine castings, fully machine. We get raw and semi-finished machining, and partly finished machining, but they are amongst the first to give us fully machined. So the value add is going up with Bajaj. So it all depend upon the business opportunity of Bajaj versus others. But as you know, we are going all out after business with others. So Honda is really growing very fast, Royal Enfield. TVS is the fastest, I would say. We have got almost 400 crores of business and this will keep going up. Right now it's mainly for brakes and alloy wheels. If you started with them, this volumes will keep increasing. And we've also got an order for a front fork for the XL100 vehicle, which we started supplying already. And we hope to get new suspension and clutches, into electronics. So if you see the growth driver for Endurance is how we can supply all these five, including electronics, to all our OEMs. Today we have Bajaj, Royal Enfield and Honda. These three take all the four products, not the electronics sector. But it's only Bajaj and Royal Enfield which has higher share of business with us. Honda has higher share of business for suspension and castings, but still brakes and clutch are still low. So we have to increase that. And similarly, enter into all these five segments with all the other OEMs. So this is the biggest growth driver, you know. So that's our endeavor to get more and more business with these customers.
In terms of technology changes, you mentioned getting into EV, and two, you're rightly saying that two wheeler, three wheeler will pursue the maximum penetration into EV. The new players like Ather or Ola, I mean, how strong they are, apart from the incumbent will also continue to launch and increase their market share. But how much can you trust them in terms of their credit, in terms of financial ability? Because you end up supplying and then get the
same
issues.
See, we cannot know everything with new suppliers, but at the same time, we as a company cannot lose the opportunity of business growth. And they're both very good companies, and we want to be a part of the growth journey in EVs. And we are with Ather, we already got business for brakes and a side channel casting. Very large business we've got. Brakes almost 300,000 per annum starting from next year. So, and Ola, we are talking to them about an opportunity which I will let you know. They have really come back to us if we are going to really go very strongly ahead with them. And so we don't want to lose any opportunity. And see, as far as upfront costs of development and tooling, they pay. Now, rest, we are assuming that the payment terms are also okay. So let's hope that they also are financially strong and do well. So, but we cannot lose any opportunity of business growth. So we'll find out. Okay, there are financial issues, we can always stop the business. But we don't want to lose the opportunity of doing business.
You talk about the areas of business in terms of how should one think about growth as well as whatever is happening in
sure. So I request Mr. Venuti to speak on that.
Sorry. The European Union, we are suffering a lot of COVID situation. More or less 30% of the reduction of volume compared to 2019, 2020. In terms of registration in the market, even if the US is doing better, more or less 15%, 16% reduction. Also, in the first quarter of this financial year, we've seen a reduction of 16.4% compared to the previous year. So, the situation of volume is very tough for many reasons, for sure, because the European market is very important way starting from 2015, so it's more market after 4 or 5 years of continuous volume is reduction of volume. But also because there are external factors that are affecting for sure that the business, first of all, the COVID in 2019, 2020, the reduction, the shortage of semiconductors, and now the big problem we have is the energy cost, because after the war in Ukraine, the situation is becoming unmanageable due to the increase of energy and gas. The energy reached 700 euro per megawatt compared to 50 euro. The gas reached 350 compared to 17. So we are speaking about 20 times compared to the past. One of the major problems is to share this cost with our customers. In this moment we are discussing with them because it's not sustainable and they are risking to reduce the production capacity only because the company will go back to situation, the supply chain of the automobile is under pressure, and so also because not everybody are in the same condition of us in terms of profitability. As Mr. Jen told you, because the previous financial year, despite an increase of energy, we put 1% of EBITDA, but without considering the energy impact, the EBITDA would have been more or less 80%. So we are maintaining our profitability, but the problem is to find a solution for energy. As you know, also the European government is trying to define a cap for the price, but for sure the geopolitical situation in this moment don't help the solution in the short time. So I believe that sooner or later, I hope within the end of this financial year, we can convince the customer to participate in this increase of cost. Also because, as probably you know, everybody, the OEM, European market are growing, both are growing in terms of profitability despite the reduction of volume. So it means that they are increasing the price to the market, but they don't recognize this benefit to the supply. So this is not so fair. For this reason, I am pretty sure that we can convince them. Also because, as Endurance, we are doing for them important investment. As Mr. Jain told you, we acquired important business in the last 5 years in the electric segment. We started in 2016, one of the first player into the supply chain of the OEM. We invested in an important way for the new projects of Volkswagen Group, Porsche, Porsche and Volkswagen Electric, and also the Audi from the sole supplier of the transmission. In this moment, we are doing more or less 1,600 cars per week. So we are making a lot of experience. We have a good expertise, and this is absolutely important for the aluminium and OEM in order to take it. Only to give an idea, in the previous financial year, we closed with 71 million euro acquisition. And in the first quarter of this financial year, more or less 14.5 million euro with everybody. Volkswagen Group, Audi, Porsche, Volkswagen, Bentley and so on, and also Stellantis for sure, Daimler and Vietnam. So we are absolutely optimist because we are taking business. So it means that the customer believe in us for many reasons. First of all, because we always have a good relationship with them, but also because we are really on the quality process and also profitability point of view. Because at the end of the day, they know that we are a company with our financial debt, and this is for sure in this moment a point of strength due to the fact that the next months the European government for sure will grow the interest rate in order to offset the inflation that is very high. And for a company as ASA with our financial debt, this could be an opportunity because all the other competitors are in financial problems. So the profit and loss will be affected by increase of interest costs. In our case, we are not in this condition. We are investing more or less 20, 25 million of euros every year in order to implement the new production capacity for the electric component. For sure, if you ask me when there will be the start of production, it's clear, even if every day they are postponing, because it's not, usually the OEM prefer to enter into the market with a new model when the market is absolutely positive. In this moment, they are trying to postpone in order to avoid But when there will be the regime of this volume is very difficult. I can tell you that in the last 6 months, in the last 18 months, sorry, we have seen an important reduction of diesel technology, an increase of gasoline, and more or less 50% of the total market in this moment is hybrid, mild-hybrid, plug-in, and electric vehicle, that reached in the first quarter more or less a share market of 9.9%. So, now, no excuse is absolutely official the position of the European government. Starting from 2035, it's not possible to produce and register internal combustion engine car in the European market, only for export. But another negative situation into the European market has been the important reduction of production, not only the registration, but also the export from Europe is not so appealing in this moment, also because considering the interest, the tax rate, and the exchange rate with the dollar, and moment the euro is very weak, and so they are changing completely the approach to the import and the export, and so. For sure, it's a very tough period, but we are in a strong position because despite this situation, we have been able to maintain a good profitability, to get cash profit, and we are continuously improve our cash. So we that our cash profit is able to cover the investment plan.
And so Europe is how much of the overall consolidated
business? About 30%.
25%. With this backdrop, how will you anchor us on a 3-year growth for Endurance?
See, I can only say we'll be higher than industry growth and profitable growth. Very difficult to put a figure because there are so many uncertainties and surprises we get. And you yourself have been seeing, especially since our IPO in October 2016, you had the demonetization, you had the GST, you had the Huawei, you had the semiconductor issues. So there are too many, sometimes the volumes are up, sometimes the volumes are down. HMSI never saw, I think, a downturn until 2019. 2019 was the worst year. So you never know. But we are very focused in our investments. Even if the, normally the customers do tell us what the volumes are, we take a very, I would say, conservative view and then invest. Because there are no take-or-pay contracts in India. So we have to be very careful. Like I said, we are a very financially focused company. So we try and see that we really sweat our assets first, existing, and then go from the CapEx. That too in a very measured way.
What are sustainable margins?
See, like I said, the RMC percentage to sale in India has gone up from 62 to 69 in 2 years. Now we are seeing a downturn in raw material prices from August. Now, the question is that normally we say we should do at least 30.5%. But that will depend on the commodity prices also, which has a mathematical impact. But still, in spite of this kind of increase, we still did 11% in the first quarter. So, and even I would say in the three quarters of FY21, which was after the first COVID, in the first quarter of FY 2020, it was the best period, I think, for two-wheelers. We did a EBITDA margin of almost 16.5% in those three quarters. So there were volumes. So I think it will depend on the commodity prices. I think we're on the right track of going in for high value add and upgraded products, that the product mix is improving, including the machine castings. And third is the outstation plants, like we have in Salem for HMSI, as well as in Narsapur, also for HMSI, and for Hero MotoCorp in Halol, which were operating at 75-80% pre-COVID. And today they are at 60-65%. We are trying to make these plants multi, not trying, we already started making them multi-product and multi-customer. So for example, we started supplying XL100 front forks or TVS from the plant in Karnataka, in Narsapur. And we're taking this Graziano business to Salem. So we are going to be now focusing. We can't depend on HMSI improving, you know, they may not. But our focus will be, because ultimately it's your break-even point, you know, and you must get that economies of scale. So now our endeavor is to make all our plants like we've done in Pantnagar. You're not only de-risk Bajaj Auto, Honda, Yamaha, Hero business, but we have all the four products there. We started with two, now we have all the four. Same thing we want to do with our station plant will help us. Because our profits are based on plant. It's a plant-wise profitability. Then we consolidate. So so I think there's no reason why we should not do it.
Domestic business,
you might
be still your largest customer.
So,
relationship with Maruti?
See, Maruti, we are supplying only one product, which is from a Pantnagar plant. The point is that we have a vendor code, we're supplying one. But you know, at the end of the day, we as a company have to choose. And it's a great company, Maruti Suzuki. But we have found a lot of better, I would say, profitability, I can say, in business sense by going for Hyundai, Kia, Tata, and Mahindra. And that's why we set up a new plant at Ballam, which I said I started. Hyundai, Kia, and other customers. That made more sense to us. Because ultimately, the capex in die casting and machining is very high. The ROIs are higher than in proprietary business. That's why you have to be very selective when you choose business, when you take business. So that's the way I'd like to put that.
But within the EV side, you're still largely on die casting.
Sorry, on the?
On the EV side?
Yes, so PV and CV is largely aluminium die casting, which is there. And now in the electronics, we already mentioned with the acquisition of Maxwell. We are planning to do the four-wheeler BMS in the next 2 years. We offer it to the Indian customers also. And of course, we have a host of electronic new items like telematics and other electronic items which we are going to offer to customers. We have a very strong set of engineers in Bombay
We are in the process of, we've identified an office space in Bangalore, and where we want to house electronic engineers. They are also additional. It's easier to get people there. So this is, of course, our endeavor to get more and more into the electronics area, including, of course, mainly for EVs. Because, like I said, we feel that especially the scooters and three-wheelers and buses will reach faster. Maybe motorcycles and passenger cars will take more time. It depends on the infrastructure. The total cost of ownership should make sense for consumers to switch. So,
for EV-specific products, I mean, very different products from the current one, than transmission. You will have to put new lines in your capex.
Yes.
What is the risk of obsolescence of existing or underutilization of existing?
No, as far as brakes, suspension are concerned, it's very similar to the existing. So, and as far as castings are concerned, basically the shapes and sizes are different. And if you have, say, the crankcases and cylinder heads and cylinder blocks and covers for an IC engine, I'm just saying a two-wheeler, you have battery housings, case extensions, you have motor housings, you have various plates and module castings. So what we are seeing will be supplied to Bajaj Chetak. Again, 7 what we supply for a two-wheeler. We supply 9 castings. These 9 castings are 2 kilograms less in weight. And the value added is similar. I mean, as of now. For a three-wheeler, we have 11 castings compared to 7 castings. The weight is 1.5 kg less compared to IC, 7 castings less. So, plus you have... Plus, for Ather Energy, you have the side channel casting order which we have got. So, what I'm saying is that the use of aluminium, what we are finding is increasing. So, let's see. So, let's hope this trend continues. So, castings is, we feel basically, it may be once it goes more and more, there are more parts and lower weights. That business is a good business to do. We don't see much changes there. The only product which can be affected is the clutch, which is about 5.5% of our India business, which is 75% of our consolidated business. So that business, 80% is for motorcycles and 20% for three-wheelers. So whenever the three-wheelers and motorcycles switch to EVs, then of course we will lose that business. So it's about 5.5% of our India business.
And that's the only business that you see.
There's only business at risk if the EVs come in the area of motorcycles and three-wheelers.
So other than volumes recovering and making inroads into newer customers and of course the raw material challenge that we are facing currently, what is the other big challenge that you see? You see the overall company, we have 29 plants across India.
No, 19 plants in India,
yeah,
and 10 plants in Europe.
29 across the world, right? So, I'm just trying to understand, what is your biggest challenge other than getting customers and raw materials? Is it managing these plants? Do you have the right manpower to get this all together? There's a lot of moving parts.
Of course. Well, I would say, it is always a continuous challenge been for the last so many years to get very good people who are committed. So the commitment is very, very important in our business. So we are trying to, in the process, of course, we've got some very good people, otherwise we wouldn't have reached here. But of course, our HR department as a company, in all our areas, we're trying to get committed people, people with experience. And that's a continuous process. You can call it a challenge, you can even call it an opportunity with our growth. Being a public listed company, we are able to get better talent also. But other than that, after the 2008 financial crisis, I think we have really strengthened our company. I mean, today when COVID, we could sleep in peace because we have no debt. We have positive cash in our books. The question was how to really cut costs. And I would say our team, both in Europe and India, is very good at that. I think even in the first COVID, where our sales were just 353 crores or something like that, this was hardly 20% of a normal sale in the first quarter. We, I think, almost broke even, right?
We broke even.
In fact, we broke even. But that's the strength of endurance. You are really tested. I mean, at 20% of sales, you break even, shows your strength. We had that time 19 plants, same 19 plants. So that is the strength. So, and at the same time, in the next three quarters of FY21, When we got the volume, we reached 16.5%. So that's our strength. So of course, volumes plays a role, but that's why I said that just going after profitable business. And Bajaj is extra to this. So if the business improves, which we are focusing fully, the volumes, the profitability will improve. These financials are all on the Pandorum's website. So you can see whatever I'm telling you.
What do you worry most about?
I'm not worried at all, with God's grace. For me, I get excited when I see challenges. That's the way I'm made. It's made me, and I was not like this when I started business. But it's made me like this. When there's a challenge, it excites me to try and solve it. So I sleep in peace with God's grace, that's what.
Eventually, the positioning is you want to be a Brembo equivalent kind of thing, or you want that quality at lower?
It should be that quality at a comparative price. You see, our focus is to give the best products in our range at competitive prices, and so that the customers can use it in their lower CC ratings. So inverted front forks is one example, which I was putting on pulses. ABS, I want to put them on a 125 CC. I think they have put it in the pulser 125. I think they have to check. Not 100% sure. So ultimately, your technology and your value engineering, which is one of our focus areas, apart from performance and life improvement, should be to give competitive products. You still make money, but you should give competitive products so your volumes increase. Now the Pulsar will open up another 200,000 apart from KTM. You will need actually for KTM in one of the front
box. And then you say that you use a market share from Bosch. Is it purely competitive pricing, or is it also?
I think it's also a de-risking they have done, of course. It is pricing, of course. But it is de-risking also because, you know, Bosch is a great company, but it has almost 80% of the market, what I've told, the ABS. That gives us a huge opportunity. It's 3.5 million market because everything above 125 cc is mandatory to have ABS.
How much of the margin improvement hinges on after-sales?
How much is
aftermarket?
I would say the margins are quite good.
Yeah. So the margin improvement will be, let's say, 50-60% driven by aftermarket and then balance on.
No. I would say the sales, the margin amounts will increase with higher sales. That's at more than 600 crores is a target. But I think these product upgrades we are doing, the backward integrations we are doing, product mix we are changing with machine castings, and this will help us improve. And better economies of scale, higher volumes, making our plants multi-product, multi-customer. All these endeavors will make us more profitable. This is what we are doing. Because the uncertainties will be there. There is no control on that. So you cannot run your business based on only the good times. You have to run your business when there are bad times also.
At this time when everyone is facing inflationary issues, customer demand, they consider. I'm assuming the OEMs are going to be very, very demanding. So how do you manage to get market share away from the other vendors, because the other vendors will also try to offer same value proposition to the OEMs.
See, I think it is about the trust which a customer has over the years, which is based on your quality, your cost competitiveness, your servicing of the customer, which is strong management, your ability to invest for them in their large growth endeavors, including setting up new plants, which we are doing for our customers, and giving them timely service, when I say is good quality of customer complaints, warranties, and on-time supplies. These things are important. So, you know, when a customer sees, I don't see any customer switching just because of lower price. The proposal has to cover all these things. And when there is a comfort level on these, I've rarely seen any customer switching to a new supply just because of price.
For the next 3 years, EV can be how much percentage of the total sales?
I don't know, to be honest. I can only say we have won 484 crores from in India and 150 million euro. We are going all out. And trust me, every major EV player, new or existing, is in touch with us. Because one advantage of Endurance is we have experience, which is our know-how, on what kind of issues we have faced in the past in terms of quality, customer complaints and warranties, and how we have addressed it in our products. So that's a big, huge advantage we have as compared to some of the newer players. We'll have to learn this. And plus, I would say our testing machines and our test track helps us to give products faster at first time right. Our ABS got cleared 1 year earlier because we had our own test track. Because the customer test tracks were not either available or were busy when they were, available. So I think all these strategic moves we have done is really helping us to grow higher in the industry and in a profitable way. That's what we'll continue to do.
If you were going to talk about Ola relationship?
Well, I'll only say it's a bit, I don't want to speak too much, but I'll just say that we already engaged with it. And we hope to be a good supplier to Ola soon.
But as I hear, Ola volumes have gone down by just 5,000, 10,000.
This is about 9,000, I think I read somewhere. But of course, they have very big plans. So let's hope they can address all the concerns which have taken place in the last 1.5-2 years. I'm sure they will. And I'm optimistic that they should do better. But then it's survival of the fittest. There's a good company, so is Aether, so is the existing OEMs also becoming aggressive now. So let's see who does well. But we have to be a part of all. See, that's the advantage of, when you're a 2- and 3-wheeler component player, you can supply to everybody. You don't have to worry who does well, who does not do well, because your capacities are similar. It can be used for either.
Do you have a sole supplier, let's say product to any of your OEM?
Yes. Inverted front forks, we are a sole supplier. So is the rear monoshocks. APTC assistance slip clutches, when we start next year, early next year, will be a sole supplier. So it depends on the technology. Which is there.
And in several vehicle models, we are sole supplier for specific parts.
Yeah, so see what happens is when the volume is less, it's like 10,000 a month. There's no sense having two suppliers. Right. Then they have to pay tooling cost and development cost. Then they have one supplier. But when the volumes are more, that is when they have to, because they can't risk on one supplier. And this is everybody is the same. So model wise, we are in many single source, including for Bajaj and for others also. Bajaj was one, and then Suzuki is. The rest are all 2-2 suppliers. The small ones are mainly some of the Bajaj ones. In Europe, almost how much? There's a lot, which is single source. No?
69%, 70%.
That becomes a risk to you.
It's a risk for them, but risk for them also, I guess. I think we also choose which models are good. We are more at the premium models also.
So on the EV side, I think the question that's been answered, so because you are a supplier and engage with all customers, right? Some of the newer players, some of the old incumbents. I think what we are trying to understand is the incumbents are traditionally wedded to their old business and then they are trying to make a shift and coming up with new models. They have to cannibalize their existing business. The new players are obviously coming up with a clean sheet, but they are more aggressive and they don't have the experience. So from your perspective, when you work with these customers, do you have a sense of who's getting it right and so there's a balance to be struck, right, in terms of aggressiveness and how you develop products. And
yeah, I think all the existing OEMs, the original, they're all really focusing on getting it. I mean, they're working very hard. And we've seen more announcements as we're in touch with them. Some have publicly announced the Honda is to come 24, they're launching. Euro will be coming out in a month. Bajaj, I know, is working both with KTM. It was in the papers, that's what happened. To come up with new EV vehicles. So I think the existing OEMs, I can only say the advantages, they have very good technology. They are, I think, stronger. But you have even some good companies in the new startups which are also very strong. They're partly funded by existing OEMs also, which will do very well. But definitely in the newer ones, I think our R&D plays a increased effort on development. I just put it that way.
What's the CapEx plans for us?
Yeah, steady state CapEx is between 300 to 350 crores. That roughly 65 to 70% of that would be wealth generating CapEx. But if there are opportunities like setting up a new plant or doing a big ticket CapEx, that would be over and above 300 to 350 crores. Steady state, that's, I'm talking about India, 300 to 350 crores.
Okay. And overseas would be largely acquisition led?
No, overseas has a steady capex maximum of 20 to 25 million euros.
Yeah. Close to 500 crores overall capex. That's all that. Okay. 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 Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time.
Okay.